You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Welcome to the League of 32 show. Christy Simone, Matthew D. Neely, Esquire. Ted Maxwell's coming up in an hour on Jump In. He's going to be talking to some muckety muck about mining. So it's going to be good. Looking forward to it. I want to pull a little bit of a sorbet here, a little palate cleanser on all of this stuff. And I was going through some old papers. Remember paper?
I
always love when people say we're going paperless, then you find out there's more paper around than ever.
Or how possible. About this one, when they say, hey, go paperless, and then you get an electronic filing charge, like at the university. Yay! Save the trees, but it's still going to cost you more. Well, you know, dude, we got to pay the IT people. They cost more than trees.
So as part of our 15th anniversary celebration this year, I was going through some old columns in the that Joe and I used to write in the Inside Tucson Business. And the one that I want to revisit, also tomorrow, I never thought I would say these words. Jhené Arenas opening up for Alan Parsons tomorrow.
Nice.
On the Wake Up Tucson show.
Nice.
So Jhené is going to talk about small business awards, and Alan Parsons might be talking about his project. He's coming to the Rialto, like, I don't know, maybe tomorrow. One of these days. It's coming up soon. So anyway, Alan Parsons and Jhené Arenas on the Wake Up Tucson show tomorrow. And Dave Slavin working with me on the Parsons. He put together the Parsons interview. So working on John Anderson from Yes. He's playing Celebrity Theater on August 14th. So this is one Joe and I wrote about board service. Okay. And when I went through it, it's just as relevant as ever. And you know what happened was, which really brought us to board service? The old XM4R Matt Foraker wrote this sustainability development blog.
Sustainability, equity, and development.
Correct. And while he was coming from the left side of the spectrum, he suffered personally at the hands of Joe Snell and those guys.
He was a pragmatist and had the scars to prove it.
Correct. Right? Yeah. Correct. And he was about workforce development training, believe it or not, was his jam. Okay. And he did an interesting experiment where he did a listing of board members of SALC, Sun Corridor, Tucson Chamber. I don't know if he threw Visit Tucson in there or not, but those three, and he talked about how many of them all on the same boards. And what do these boards really do? Now, when you're on a board, I'm going to say this in my best Brooklyn accent, a fiduciary responsibility to hold those accountable. For this organization to have a tax-exempt status, the state of Arizona expects to have a robust board that participates and holds the organization responsible and accountable. What was it that, like, Don King? Responsible and accountable. Okay? So Joe and I saw the weakness in some of these boards that say they do leadership or commercing or whatever. We saw it in the old Tucson Metro Chamber Board. We'll see if it's the same now. Recycling the same names, right? Like there's no new people. Let me go through this. It's going to make us all feel old. January 15th, 2010. Joe and I wrote this. 2010. The phone rings. The executive director of one of our prestigious economic development organizations on the line. Quote, would you like to serve on your board, on our board? Your heart's all a flutter. You feel honored and you should be. Yes, you say. At that moment, you've entered a whole new world of responsibility and accountability. But they don't think about it like that. This is future Chris talking about this, right? They don't think it like that. Okay. back to the column. Being asked to serve on a nonprofit or association board is a rite of passage for many local professionals. Board service builds your resume. It's a great way to network your business. And you can spend an hour a week giving back to your community. Agencies, bureaus, we know what we're talking about when we said bureaus, chambers and nonprofits rely on the business community's leadership and dollars to steward them in the future. Now, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but it's important to draw some lines and point out that serving on a board is a big responsibility. The members of that association, and or if they receive taxpayer dollars, the taxpayers and elected officials are counting on you to make sure the director and staff are operating in an effective and legal manner. That's an important job. But this is what you guys got to realize. Any of you sitting on a board right now of anything need to listen. Maybe you're in the right spot. I hope you are. Believe it or not, there are boards in Tucson that don't really want or care about outspoken opinions. It's shocking but true. Some boards might have selected you because you can't spend that much time or you won't rock the boat. Besides, lighting the world on fire isn't your cup of tea. In these instances, you've been invited on a board to maintain the status quo. A board made up of status quo keepers and poker buddies of the director are sure to lead the organization into a swamp of indifference. Is this starting to sound familiar to anybody out there? The swamp of indifference. Here's some tip-offs that you're serving on a board that really isn't looking to have your voice heard. Let me get my dinger out for this one. If the paid executive director identifies and invites you to the board themselves, that might be a problem. So what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to have a nominating committee of board members that are searching for new board members. And your executive director should not have really any input in that because you don't want them to pick their buddies. We'll get there. Or they're already choosing you because they know you're weak. Well-meaning, but weak. If there's more than 20 members on the board, you have a problem. If you look around at the other board members and see mid-level managers from unrelated industries, it means the mover and shakers are not involved. You actually got to look at what percentage of your board are made up of people who actually write the front of the check. You need more Jim Clicks and less Lisa Lavallos is where you're at. Okay? If you're wined and dined more than you're asked to roll up your sleeves and work on the organization, there might be a problem. If the organization's revenues are shrinking, customer base evaporating, and effectiveness is diminishing while the staff keep getting raises, there might be a problem. If your board meetings revolve around golf, travel, lavish meals, there might be a problem. If your board meets once a quarter, once a year, or regularly misses its quorum, there might be a problem. If the ability to bring in fresh blood on the board isn't there, there may be a problem. Some boards recycle the director's old friends again and again. If you look around and see the same 10 people on every other board you're on, there might be a problem. If your board comes with free parking for life and there's over 70 members, there might be a problem. Now, that was a specific, I don't know if it was for life, but that was the idea that the Tucson Airport Authority board was massive. And one of the reasons people wanted to be on that board, other than it looked good on the resume, is they got free parking. So you got to roll in, get the covered parking, all that stuff. Let's see. Let's see where the Tucson Airport Board of Directors. Let's see how many people are on the Tucson Airport Board of Directors. Here we go. Ah, it's so good. Let's see. Let's see what we got here. They are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. They have about 55 to 60 members on the board of the Tucson Airport Authority. That's a lot of free parking. Kerry Sylvan's the chair. Thank God. Thank God for Kerry Sylvan. Judy Rich. Thank God. At least there's a couple of people. Rhonda Pena. Thank Jesus. Oh, I could have fun all day with that thing. Holy moly. All right, let's get back to the column. A note of wisdom from two self-proclaimed wise guys. Think long and hard before saying yes to joining some swanky board of the week. Be prepared to learn the market of the organization you're volunteering. Take time to visit with staff and your clients. Do your homework. Look to competitive organizations to see what management is doing right and what is they're doing wrong. Speak up, ask tough questions, and hold the staff of the chamber, bureau, or nonprofit accountable for their decisions. There are people within organizations in the community that depend on you doing your part to ensure things are on the up and up. Ask yourself, are my actions or this board serving the least of my members? If they are, you might be on the right track. If you take your role for granted, we all lose. Do the right thing. We're all depending on you. 14 years ago, we wrote that. And I don't know if that's changed much. 8:18 in the morning. Christy Simone, Matthew D. Neely, Esquire, and yourself. 790-2040 is the phone number. We're doing 1988.
Here's all the way back to 1988.
Presidential election year, HW.
1,000 points of light. This aggression will not stand.
No more new taxes.
No, read my lips.
Oh, that's 92, right?
Amen, brother.
So someone asked me how far we're going to go. I go, we'll try 92, which is going to show the degradation of music. And then we might be done. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. Maybe all third hour I should play Alan Parsons just to cover myself.
That would work for me.
So, all right, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Electric Blue, one of Australia's biggest groups in the 80s. Huge. Let me give you a little known factoid on Electric Blue by Icehouse.
Okay.
Co-written by the guy Iva Davies of Icehouse, an Australian band, and John Oates of Hall & Oates.
Well, there you go.
Oates became involved with Davies after contacting him to state he was a fan. The resulting collaboration produced this song, and Oates stated that if Icehouse did not release the song, it would have been a Hall & Oates track.
How about that?
I did not know that. Dr. DeFilippo yesterday exposed me to the Pima County How We Spent Your Hundreds of Millions of Dollars of report, and they're really giving themselves a spit medal on this thing. So my job is to highlight a variety of different things in here that just make me giggle snort a little bit. Little giggle. DeSimo needs a giggle once in a while. Can't be all Sturm and Drang with the Republican Party. We got to do a little giggle once in a while. Let's get to this one. This is on page 54. This is a big, it's 120, hold on, 77 page report. Economic recovery marketing. Pima County partnered with the Sun Corridor to study how COVID-19 pandemic affected the economy. Remember when the crime-free guys really wanted... Remember this? The crime-free guys and girls wanted a real one and they wouldn't do it? 150... an adopted budget of... This, Josh, Monica, and Kevin, if you're listening. This was Pima County partnered with the Sun Corridor to study how COVID-19 affected the economy in the Pima County area. Right? Sun Corridor had been working closely with Pima County's Economic Development Department and local Workforce Investment Board over the past year. So they adopted, you're going to love this, they adopted a $150,000 budget, total expenditures zero. In fiscal year 23, Sun Corridor reported it helped create 1,400 jobs. Yeah, where? Sun Corridor formed a committee of regional leaders to work on strategies for recovery. Remember that? It had Chuck and Judy Rich and Joe Snell. Oh, yeah, we're going to teach you numbskulls how to... It was total smokescreen. Total smokescreen. What happens next? Significant outcomes include major economic development wins, such as the establishment of the American Battery Factory headquarters. You're going to love this. Positioning Pima County is now a leader in battery technology. Get out of here. You have one company. You have one company.
So you can't, yeah, gotcha.
I need...
It's not like a...
I need multiples. I need multiple. Don't tell me
vertical
about...
Vertical integration.
I know we have, quote, Scion power.
Well, they could have vertical integration if they had, I don't know, a copper mine nearby. But that would be, you know, a little difficult.
Now, you're a news guy, Matt. You can help me on this one.
Sure.
Projects like Chrome Hearts manufacturing expansion.
I got nothing. I guess I'm out of the loop. I'm not much. And you want to be my news guy. You know, it's like Jerry Seinfeld with George Costanza.
Matt and
you
I
want to be my news guy.
Have the drudge shovels going through the news every damn day. I've never heard of. Now, here's the best part. This is how bad we are. The Chrome Hearts manufacturing expansion are projected to. You want fluff. This is Pima County fluff line at its best. Manufacturing expansion are projected to create substantial economic benefits over the coming decade.
Chrome Hearts, you said?
Chrome Hearts.
Expands acquisition near UA Tech Park.
Wow.
This is January 2023. Real Estate Daily News, which is probably a feed over from either a press release or something that they lifted from the Star. Karen Schutte. Isn't that?
Yeah.
Look at us. And you call yourself a board op.
We did flip another car in Tucson yesterday at Ina and I-10 on Ina Road. So it's for every one that's in that's outside of the city limits of Tucson, it's about eight inside the city limits of Tucson. So I do like this one. There's now one hashtag write a speech for Kamala, right? And there's one called Kamala Explains the Stock Market, right? Where people basically write Kamala explanations for stuff, how she would say it. I like this one. The stock market's like a store that sells numbers, big numbers and little numbers. You can buy things in a store, but in the stock market, you can sell numbers too. The prices in those stores go up and down. Abortion. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Jamie Raskin. Literally said that Congress will have to tell Trump on January 6th that he's disqualified and will have to put the country on civil war footing. This is at a bookstore.
Huh?
Yeah. So we got that going on for us, too. That's good. Let's get to... This is Corey Walker over at the Washington Examiner. It's called, If Trump Keeps This Up, He's Going to Lose. I'm not a believer that Trump surviving the assassination attempt is somehow an automatic walk to the presidency. Former President Donald Trump last week set the internet ablaze questioning the ethnicity of Kamala Harris. He was asked whether or not he agreed with the narrative that the vice president was a DEI hire instead of her own merit. So I think what I want to kind of frame this conversation with is we're going back to persuadables. So we know there's a bunch of people on the left that are going to vote for Kamala Harris, hell or high water. And we know there's people on the right that are going to vote for Donald Trump, hell or high water. Now, it's funny, a friend of mine who's a Democrat, after learning about this Tim Walz guy being the VP candidate, I never thought I'd hear her say this. She said, "Hey, I just want to let you know I am not voting for president this year. Not happy with any groups. Either of the groups don't like the Harris pick." So Matt also has rightfully said in the past that there's an escape valve for Democrats, which is called Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah, I mean, they have a safety valve, which there are lots of things that we as Republicans need to be concerned about, but that's one big thing that they need to be concerned on their side.
So the question is, now, you know, it's her dad's Jamaican, her mom's Indian, okay? This is where we're at. So the question will be is, does her ethnicity and how she presents it, or more importantly, how the media presents it as she needs it, is this what you want to lead with persuadable voters? Is this their jam? And I would say, as a certain French athletic director would say in French, nah. I feel like he struck a, and this is what Kerry's talking about, the tone in his GOP acceptance speech of the nomination. I feel like you already have Hispanics and black voters breaking your way right now. Why even jump into that pool right now? So why are black voters and Hispanic voters breaking Trump's way? Money, power, vanity, but mostly it's about the money. So we have the regular ABC News affiliate coming out that 1 in 3 families cannot afford all the school supplies their kids need going into the school year. That's what you hit them with, right? And Kamala Harris, just in her own words and her own lack of gravitas, that's what you hit her on. Don't jump into the DEI thing. Stop talking to red meat Republicans. You don't need them anymore. They're already on the boat. Right? This goes back to Carrie Lake Tuesday night during the convention. She's yucking it up with red meat Republicans that are at the convention. No crap, Carrie. You had the TV on you. You had international video of all over. And what do? You do the same old crap, which is, oh, look at the fake news. They don't love you. We got it, lady. We got it. So how do we have more voters that are moderate D's, independents, or maybe some moderate R's who just don't like Donald Trump to make sure they're going to vote Republican? It's about the pocketbook, kids. Start with the pocketbook.
Chris, instead of talking about how she cast the tie-breaking vote
right
on these infrastructure, you know, misnamed inflation reduction, infrastructure, bipartisan nonsense. So she cast the deciding vote of fire hosing trillions of dollars into the economy, driving this monster inflation. And we're talking about how she identifies herself. It's completely wasted effort. It is completely wasted effort.
Now, those votes you're talking about help crush people's pocketbooks.
Right.
That's what your first thing you talk about is you tie it to your pocketbook, right? Well, how does the border affect my pocketbook? Well, I don't know. Maybe because with all of these extra people looking for jobs, right, it lowers wages, right? Or when there's an increased amount of crime in your neighborhood, guess what happens? Your people who own those businesses have to increase the prices because their crime tax has gone up, right? That's how you tie it back to everyone's pocketbook, right? Carrie Lake, I mean, I know you hate me, and that's your problem now, okay? But you know something? We've already handed it to you. Ruben Gallegos sitting on a camel in Qatar, yeah. Right? Just with his arms up with Fang Fang's boyfriend, right? While people, basically slave labor, were building soccer stadiums for oil sheiks. Oh, I'm just my mama raised me, and I'm just a Marine. Horse hockey. And talking about the election again. Stop talking. When it comes to voting, either you're doing it to make it better, but that's it. Kerry, you keep losing. So you have better name ID in Arizona than Mark Lamb. And Mark wasted money in the early days and didn't run the best campaign, even though he was the better candidate. All right? But this is where we're at. Well, why is Kerry Lake's name ID so good? It's because it's negative. It's not positive. Right? Her name ID is so good because after she lost against Hobbs, right, all she was in there was for the first year or two, your first 18 months was about her losing in court. And what else was Kerry Lake doing out there in Arizona to make anything better, right? So if you thought you really want to run for something in Arizona, where are you in other parts of Arizona when you're not running for office? Oh, that's right. You were working for Jeff DeWitt, making six figures. Got it. So in the end, pocketbook, pocketbook, pocketbook. How many times do we have to say this? All of this ties back to your pocketbook. That Republicans, Trump's got enough money to do a real campaign. That's what the campaign looks like. How are all of these things crushing your wallet? All of you restaurant owners, and I love all of you, most of you, okay? And you're like, well, why aren't people coming in as much anymore? I don't know, because everything we've talked about for the last 3.5 years has to do with killing your wallet. That's why.
You add in all the other inflationary forces and then artificially jacking up the minimum wage, state and locally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you couldn't find a worse time to jack up. There's never a good time to artificially jack up minimum wage.
Wage price spiral, my friend.
Right. But there's the worst time to do artificial minimum wage was combined with this historic inflation. So if you can't connect it, you can't afford blank. There's 33% of parents are saying they can't afford their school supplies this year. So that's why the Republicans need to be out right now saying, oh, you can't afford to get your kids school supply? Kamala Harris. Right? You can't. Every Democrat up and down the ticket right now has been telling you for 3.5 years that all of this horse crap government spending is the saving grace of the world. But while it was really doing was crushing the living crap out of your wallet. I mean, come on, guys and girls. This is not that hard. Stop getting caught up in, is Kamala African, India? I don't care. America. Again, I'm going to tell you right now, Asian voters, black
50s. I mean, come on.
You know, we're worried about race. What is this? The anti-Juan Siskamani Republicans? What are we talking about here? Rhino, Mexican Rhino. But that's where we're at. If you're not tying everything back to Democrats. I'm going to tell you something. One of our friends who's a Democrat that lives in Pliskin Acres is already getting the Kamala Harris, Ruben Gallego door knocker on his door right now.
Right. Coming back to our subject of the other day, ground game.
So, you know, on the Republican side, Bill Beard was successful in getting all of these chairs to sign a unity letter that went out to everyone. But, of course, the big question is, why didn't Dave Smith sign it? He's the only one missing. I got Bruce Ash, I got Bill Beard, I got Westerman, I got Eppenheimer, all this stuff. This is what we're working on. Right now, Democrats are knocking on doors, putting Ruben Gallego, Kamala Harris. She's not even the nominee yet, really, officially. And she's got, and they already got door knockers out there. So you got to tie it back to the, if you're not tying it back to the wallet, people understand wallet. They understand wallet.
How do you think Bill Clinton got reelected? Remember, it's the economy, stupid.
Yep. Absolutely.
Remember that?
I would. So what I would do is get that quote from Billy Boy and put it out there. That'd be my Republican.
James Carville.
Thing. Yep. Carville. All right. Carville. I put Carville in the commercials right now.
Right. Just get the old clip of him saying that.
Let's go to Bill. Hi, I'm Donald Trump. Let's go to Bill Clinton's chief political advisor back in 19. Anti-economy, stupid. Well, that's your. Hey, Republicans, that's your slogan. That's your tagline. James Carville. It's the economy, stupid. Do you get it yet? Again, we have buddies of ours that are restaurant owners that are Democrats. And I know their daddy was a Democrat and their mommy was a Democrat. Well, I'm going to tell you something. All of your buddies in the Democrat Party are crushing the living hell out of your business. Do you like this? Do you like running a business like you're basically under siege all the time? That's where you're at. And if Republicans aren't tying everyone up and down the line from Rex Scott up to Kamala Harris on how they're crushing your wallet and telling you they're not. I mean, what's the Biden Harris thing? Oh, we lowered the price of insulin. We're killing you on everything else in the medical world, and we're taking away all of your choices for healthcare. But damn it, your insulin's cheaper.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right? It's kind of like they're kind of rubbing your head with the left hand while they're kicking you in the groin with the other.
It's true.
And depending on if you're intersex or trans, that may hurt or not. I just want to make sure I'm cool here. So, all right, 8:49 in the morning. Christy Simone and Mr. Mark Van Buren. I'm reading Mark's name. Matt Neely. I'm reading Mark's name on my. He's texting me. I gotta stop. Ted Maxwell's coming up on Jump in Tucson, and we'll do one of our infamous crossover segments with Ted coming up, and he can tell us about this mining dude.
Often imitated, never duplicated.
You are correct. All right, Pet Shop Boys, 1988. Wake up. All right. Remember tomorrow. We have Alan Parsons from the Alan Parsons Project, and Janae Arenas will be here. And in the picture I took, both of them, she made the notice, they both have really luxurious hair in their pictures. So brought to you by the good folks at Germac. And they told two friends, and they told two friends. Tomorrow we'll also cover Caitlin Schmidt, Teddy Pendergrass, and Teresa Cullen, doing some shoddy reporting and fear-mongering on COVID. Until someone's going to tell me, I want to know for every COVID case, how many of them are actually vaccinated, because I'm going to make you a bet that most of them are vaccinated. I'm going to tell you something. Anyone I've known who's gotten COVID right now in the last 30 days, vaccinated. It's not even close. Just pointing things out. Let's go over to the other side of the Cracker Barrel. Ted Maxwell's here, and he's coming on Jump in Tucson. Good morning, Ted. How are you?
Doing good, Chris. How are you doing?
Not too shabby. What's coming up on the old jumper?
Well, today I've got Misael Cabrera with the director of the School of Mining and Mineral Resources at the University of Arizona.
Oh, look at that. But I didn't know we still taught that.
What people don't remember, well, a lot of people don't realize about Misael is he was the former director for 8 years of ADEQ.
Oh, he was my favorite director.
With under Governor Ducey, and 4 years prior to that, he was the deputy director when Governor Brewer was governor.
Nice.
So he's very knowledgeable about mining, what it does and doesn't do. He talks, obviously, you know, we've had a school of mining at the university since, I think, 1918. And it's kind of amazing. It's gone with the politics in the country and morphed and merged and changed names and kind of come back. And right now, I think this region, as if you just look at the Daily Star's op-eds the last couple of days, there's been several articles, several op-eds written about mining, and that's in large part because ADEQ is in the process of approving or reviewing the water and air permits for Copper World.
Is that, and that's, this is that's one of the final hurdles they have to jump
it
through?
It is. Both of the mining activities that are getting a lot of play in the media right now is because they're doing it on private land. You know, trying to get the permits on federal land, it's a much larger and bigger process. So it should be a good conversation. But I already told them, you know, I might have to take the first 15 minutes because I haven't been on the air since the primaries.
Oh, that's right.
And I've had a lot. I guess that's not true. I was on Bill's show the day after, and he asked what I thought about the primaries. I said, it's something that everybody forgets. These are partisan primaries with low voter turnouts. And in a partisan primary with low voter turnout, the folks that turn out are the party advocates.
So what are we talking turnout, like 20-something percent?
The final turnout for overall voters in that were eligible to vote and not including the in independents, it was 31.
Who won LD-17 state senate?
I believe you might have a lunch coming your way, but I haven't checked. But that was that was a close race, Vince Leach. And in my show, we're going to talk a little bit about what the difference if these have been open primaries and what are races like the attorney general, which would the county attorney. It would be Conomer and Jetty meeting now in a countywide election if we had had open primaries this year.
All right. He's coming up on Jumpin' Tucson. We'll see you tomorrow. Alan Parsons and Janae Arenas, the new Mexican restaurant Copal on Food Friday.